right. Good morning, everybody. You know, it's bad when you're not even the best preacher in your house, if you know what I mean. Shelly, man, she brings it. What y'all don't know, Shelly is a fireball. I don't know if you guys know that. If you know her, she's like, if you just see her, she's like, oh, she's so sweet and kind. She is fiery. And so you get to see, you get to experience a little bit of what I get to experience from time to time. So apparently I'm in the doghouse with my wife today. My good friend Keelan Ford. Keelan, he runs a soundboard. Keelan, if you want to know what a man looks like, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, stability, like that's what a man looks like. Anyway, Keelan and his wife announced this morning to the church that they're pregnant. Hey! And that's awesome, but here's the problem. I knew a week ago, and he made me swear to secrecy that I wouldn't tell Shelly because he wanted to announce it. And if Shelly finds out, everybody finds out. So Shelly found out that I knew for a week, and she didn't know, and she is not happy. So that fire that you saw this morning, I'll experience that this afternoon. Anyway, we're continuing our series today called Influence. Before we jump into that, I want to make an announcement real quick about the birthday party. It's next week, as you saw in the video. So we're celebrating our fourth year as Motion Church, and it's significant. It's huge. It's funny because in some ways it's so significant. In other ways, it's like, man, we're just getting started, so it's not incredibly significant. But we told you guys last week that the average church, 50% of churches don't make it past the two-year mark. And we made that, so that's, you know, yeah, it's something to celebrate, it's something to be proud of. So we just kind of wanted to give you guys a little insight as to what's going to be going on. We've talked to, if you were here last year, we had the Sweet Treats truck. Have you seen the light blue truck driving around town with ice cream and all that stuff? Come on, ice cream, people. I mean, it's like Jesus and ice cream. And it's not close, but it's close, right? It's not really, you know what I'm saying. I'm not being a heretic here. So the Sweet Treat Trucks is going to be here. So after the experience, we'll have that. And then this year, we've added another layer of awesome to the birthday party. There's going to be a taco truck here. Come on. So if you're into tortas, we're going to have some tacos in the parking lot. Not in the parking lot, but the truck's in the parking lot. You can buy some tacos at the birthday party. We'll have the inflatable games for the kids. We've got like some serious high-level competition for the dudes. We're going to have a football toss thing. Winner gets a trophy. Because you know, dudes, man, it's like we can turn anything into a sport and a competition. That's how we roll. Like, oh, yeah, you see that hole in the wall. I bet I can throw a penny through it. No, you can't. I bet I can't. And, you know, it's like 3 hours later. Nobody's actually done it, but everybody's still really competitive about it. And so that's next week. And we just kind of want it to be a huge celebration, but it's not just a celebration for us. It's a celebration for our community. It's a celebration for where we're going. And so what we want to do is we always want to include other people in that. It's a great front door to get people into the church, like, because it's not traditional. I mean, we're not traditional anyway, but it's super not traditional on our birthday party. So if people, like you've kind of wanted to invite somebody to church, that's the perfect opportunity to do that. So bring people. We always say invest and invite. That's a great time to if you've been investing, that's the time to invite. So that's next week. It's going to be incredible. Let's jump into this influence thing. So far, we've talked about how influence is leadership. That was the first week. We talked about how each and every one of us have a responsibility. Influence is not something that's just limited to your boss. It's not something that's just limited to your teachers. It's not something that's just limited to CEOs and people who are in high positions or offices. Influence is something that every one of us are called to. Every one of us have a responsibility to lead others. Kind of like our mission is to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus. Like we lead people because that's how God has responded to us, and that's the way that he works with us. So we do the same for other people, and we've all got a calling on our lives to do just that. So that's what we talked about the first week. Then we talked about how we influence others by allowing God to increase in our life. Remember the phrase by John the Baptist? He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that's a lot easier said than done, right? Because I kind of like me, as I suspect you like you. And we like to do the things that we like to do, and we kind of, we're bent on pleasure sometimes, and sometimes we have to sacrifice pleasure for progress. And so allowing God to increase and us to decrease will also increase our influence on those around us. Because I think people are just looking for somebody that's genuine, that's authentic, that's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but somebody that's really, really pursuing Jesus. Because we've got a lot of, like, you know, Christians, right? There's a lot of Christian people in East Texas. But when you see the real thing, it's like, man, it's so refreshing. It's like a Coke, you know? I want to sing the song, "Ain't Nothing Like a Real," what? Baby. Man, if I could sing, I wouldn't even preach. I would just sing my message, the whole thing. But I can't. And you guys, everybody's better for it. But the real thing is so refreshing. And I think when people see the real thing, they see that you're allowing God to increase in your life and you're constantly putting forth effort to decrease yourself. It's refreshing to the world around you. It gives you influence. And then last week we talked about how we influence by increasing our intelligence. And part of that is just kind of reading people and discerning situations and knowing how to relate to people. And everybody's a little bit different, so you relate to them a little bit different. And the most important thing, like it says, there was a proverb, I don't want to butcher the reference, but essentially it says, getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. So that's kind of where we talked about and where we left off last week. And this week, although I'd love to continue the alliteration, did you notice we influence through increase and influence through intelligence? Did you see the, right? I wanted to talk about influence through integrity and influence through innovation and influence through intentionality. Those are all fun. But I think what we're going to talk about today, to break away from the alliteration, is probably the most effective form of influence that any of us can have, and it's influence through adversity. Because this is the real life stuff, man. This isn't like some great, you know, lofty idea of leadership and influence, and this is, you know, like we read a lot of things that are theoretical, but they don't apply to our lives when we leave this place. And I think that when you talk about your adversity, you talk about life, you talk about your struggles, you talk about the things that when you leave church, you go back home to, or you go to work tomorrow, you got to face and confront and deal with. That's life. And I think when you face those situations and you talk about those situations, it gives you influence to the people that are around you because they're going through it too. Like, we're not exempt from struggles. We're not exempt from trials and problems and tribulations, right? Like, we're part of this world. Like, we're in it, but we're not of it. But you're still in it, so you got to deal with the repercussions of being in it, right? And so when we talk about these things and we go through these things and we go through them with the right perspective, it gives us influence to the people or with the people that are around us that kind of watch the way that we live our lives. I believe that how we handle adversity, difficult circumstances, and life either increases or decreases your influence. Like if you go through it with the right perspective, you're not, I mean, let me, we just know we're not perfect. You don't handle every situation just, you know, exactly kosher. Sometimes you mess up. But all in all, for the most part, right, you get this thing right. If you go through adversity with your head held high and your focus on Jesus and you've got your perspective right and you believe that it's all going to work out because God is in control and all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, and that's your perspective, then when you do that, it increases your influence. But if when the wind blows, you freak out and, you know, the economy shifts and you're like, oh my God, and the price of oil drops to this and you're like, what are we going to do? What's different between you and somebody who doesn't even follow Jesus? There's very little difference. And there should be a significant difference in this department. There should be this thing inside of you called hope. There should be this thing inside of you called peace and trust. And you should give God a chance to work through the circumstance. Don't freak out before the circumstance even hits. Because, you know, we make, this is what we do. We make clouds storms before it ever rains. We see an ominous looking cloud in the distance and we're like, oh my God, the sky is falling. And it hadn't even rained yet. Like, you haven't even given the one who controls the weather a chance to let it rain or not rain, for whatever it's worth. And so the way you deal with adversity either increases or decreases your influence. And when we freak out, man, and here's the deal. I know every one of us probably have like that thing that freaks us out a little bit. Some of us read the book of Revelation and we're all freaked out, right? Like, we all just stop reading the book of Revelation. I've had so many people asking me, hey man, I got questions about the book of Revelation. Start in Matthew. Let's go through Matthew and then we'll work through this thing together, right? So stop reading that. It's going to freak you out, man. You start reading about lion's heads and bulls and horns and dragons and crazy stuff, right? So the first point, I guess, this morning is this. Is A-O-I. How many of you guys like vowels? We're given, if you like Wheel of Fortune, we're only selling vowels this morning. It's A-O-I, and it's simply kind of a cheap acronym for adversity is an opportunity for influence. Adversity is an opportunity for influence, and that all depends on your perspective. Your adversity is either an opportunity for influence, or it's a situation that's just going to mess you up and freak you out and throw you off kilter and off sorts, right? When you are faced with adversity, You can choose which perspective that you're going to have. You can choose a very selfish perspective. You can choose to make your adversity all about you and why me, and all, you know, your emotions are all bent out of shape and bent out of sorts, and you're just kind of freaking out, and you can make the whole situation about you. Or you can choose to have a different perspective that says, whatever it is that I go through, first off, I know that I'll get through it. Isn't that funny? Like, there's a really cool Old Testament verse in the book of Psalms, and it's David, who experienced more adversity than any of us have ever experienced. And a lot of it was self-induced. Like, he created some drama on his own. But he experienced more adversity than any of us have ever or probably ever will experience. And he said this. He said, I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Like, he said that God takes care of his people. When he was young, God took care of him. When he's old, God took care of him. And then everything in between, like, God took care of him. So that's the first thing. Just remember, when you're thinking about your perspective and you're dealing with your adversity, like, you're going to get through it. It may seem like a mountain. It may seem insurmountable, but you're going to make it. Homie, you're going to make it, right? That's the first part of perspective. The second part of perspective is, who is it that I can help when I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with? Who is it that I can identify with or connect with or point and give hope to that may be going through the same thing that I'm going through or will go through the same thing that I'm going through? You know, that's probably the most wasted part of Christianity, is that we don't allow our circumstances and our struggles and our experiences to help other people. Think about the riches in that. Right? Think about the experiences that you've gone through that you can have and use, and it translates to the struggles that other people have and the ways that you can serve other people by sharing your experiences and sharing your struggles. But it's all about perspective. If all you do is make your situation about you and you know, woe is me and all things, you know, the sky is falling and blah, 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 right? If that's all you do, like, you've wasted that opportunity to serve other people. And so when we go through adversity, it's an opportunity for influence. It's an opportunity to help somebody that is going or will go through what it is that you go through. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, we all think that our struggles are unique to us, but they're not. Like, most of the things that you struggle with, there's almost for sure a guarantee that somebody else in this room is struggling with the exact same thing that you're struggling with. Like, we think that our circumstances are so unique and specific to us, but the human condition is such that we all kind of struggle with some of the similar same things, right? So don't hide your story. Don't hide what it is that you've gone through or the struggles that you've had. Share those things, man, to help other people. Now, don't overshare. For clarification, right? Like, be very, you know, cautious There's a good word for that that means you're just cautious in how you share that, and I can't think of what it is. That's the struggle. So I believe that if we're honest, we know that one of those is easy and one of those is right. Like, it's easy to make your circumstances and your adversity about you and kind of, you know, oh, man, you know, talking about your emotions and how you feel about it. And there's the other part of that that's right, like sharing your struggle and your adversity with other people and keeping your perspective on how you can serve other people. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, Paul says this, and I think this is just huge because, again, Paul's adversity was so much more significant than our adversity probably is. He says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. So that's how he starts out. Before we go any further, I want to kind of point out. So Paul, as he's writing this, is in prison. Now that's kind of a bad day, right? That's a bad place to start. But it's not like Gray County Jail where you get, like, you know, a bed and a pillow. I mean, it's old school prison where you probably sleep on a dirt floor, a pillow is a rock, and your toilet is right by your head. It's a hole in the ground. And I don't know what the food situation is, but I know they didn't have ovens, so it probably wasn't all that fantastic back in the Gap, right? So those are his circumstances. That's his adversity. And he says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. In his adversity, he could have talked about himself, and he could have talked about how emotionally down he was because he was living in a prison cell for serving God, and woe is me, but he turned it around and said, look how I've been able to serve other people through my adversity. And so in verse 13, he says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. So that's kind of the first aspect of this. Like, his influence is increased because of his adversity. Everybody who's in the prison, who works in the prison, the guards and everybody who's associated with it now are hearing the gospel, maybe for the very first time because Paul is in prison. And so instead of him whining and bickering and moaning about himself being in prison, he's like, look at all the people who've heard about Jesus because I'm in prison. How cool is that? I mean, he probably said that in his mind. He didn't jot it down, but it's there. And then in verse 14, kind of the second aspect of his influence, he says, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So everybody else that's kind of watching, the other Christians who've seen Paul being in prison because of his faith, they now have more courage. They're more bold to stand up and preach the gospel or share their faith because of what Paul is going through. So he's like, the things that I'm going through, my adversity, the struggles that I'm currently facing, not only are influencing the people around me, but there's kind of a larger group of people that I'm influencing. And so what he did is he tells us, he shows us the way he lived is that adversity is an opportunity for influence. That's like A-O. Right? It's hard. I need a wireless mic for that. I just automatically want to default to what? Okay. Coming back to what we talked about the first week and how leadership is influence, or we turned it around, influence is leadership. That way John Maxwell doesn't sue us for copyright infringement. Here's a little quote from a leadership blog that deals directly with this. This is what's cool. I had already kind of planned out everything that we were going to talk about, and then I was reading a blog, and I was like, hey, it's perfect. This is what it says. All leaders face obstacles, and you're all leaders because we all have a responsibility to lead, and influence is leadership, right? All leaders face obstacles in the office, at home, and in their personal lives. However, through overcoming difficulties, leaders grow in great ways. By navigating through multiple tough experiences, followers will likely have more respect for where leaders have been and where they can take the organization in the future. Influence comes from how we deal with sorrow, pain, and adversity. Did you hear that? Influence comes from how we deal with sorrow, pain, and adversity. What gives us leverage to those around us is our response to difficulty. Like, this dude is preaching. I don't even know if this is a Christian blog. This is just a leadership blog. What gives us leverage to those around us is our response to difficulty. It causes people to be curious. The curiosity is, where is the strength that gives you the ability to stand in these circumstances? Where does that come from? Where is your resolve rooted in? Like, what's the source of your hope? Like, people ask these questions when you face adversity and you face it with the right perspective. It's an opportunity for influence. So when you're faced with adversity, remember the vows. Remember A-O-A, right? That seems so chantable. I'm just like, yeah, yeah. If I were a cheerleader, man, it'd be on. Maintain perspective. Keep the right perspective. It's easy to make your circumstances and your adversity about you and get down and allow, you know, your emotions to go out of control and allow your mind, which is probably the worst enemy that you'll ever have, to go crazy. Stop listening to those crazy voices. Shelly and I were talking this week. You know that we talk to ourselves at a rate of, like, it's somewhere between 500 and 600 words a minute is the way that we talk to ourselves. Now, I kind of talk fast, but I don't talk that fast, right? And so when you're talking to yourself at the rate of 500 to 600 words per minute, and if you're anything like me, a lot of those words that I'm talking to myself are not very positive. Imagine what happens to your mind when all you're getting is kind of that negative communication and negative context, right? So make sure that you're listening to the right voices. Keep the right perspective. Remember this. This is huge. If you wouldn't have been there, you wouldn't be here. If you wouldn't have gone through the things that you've gone through, if your experiences wouldn't have happened the way that they happened, you probably wouldn't be the person that you are today. You probably wouldn't be standing where you are today. If I wouldn't have experienced some of the personal situations in my life that I had to go through, I probably wouldn't be the person that I am today. And so when you go through the struggles, when you're in the fires of adversity, remember that what you're going through right now is probably just setting you up for where it is that you're going to be. Because if you wouldn't have been there, you wouldn't be here. And none of that happens without perspective. It's all about perspective. I can think of some of the people in my life that have inspired me and encouraged me and influenced me, and it usually deals with how they deal with adversity. How many of you guys and girls watch ESPN? Shelly watches ESPN by default. She has no choice. I watch ESPN probably religiously. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. And every once in a while, they'll have kind of a short story on there. It's, you know, 10 or 15 minute little video. And it's always, man, like, it's ridiculous. I'm a grown man. I'll be laying in bed at night and I'll just start crying because I'm watching these stories of people who deal with adversity in such a courageous way. And they, like, you know, they have some kind of debilitating disease and they don't quit and they don't stop and they keep pursuing their dreams. And I'm like, what is my excuse? Like, I have one bad day or somebody says something negative about me or somebody doesn't like me. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I should do this anymore. And they've had their arms or legs blown off in war and they keep coming back and keep fighting the good fight and doing what it is that they feel like they're supposed to do. And stuff like that inspires me. There's a story of a father and a son and they run triathlons together. It's called Team Hoyt. You've probably seen it. And if you haven't, like, don't do it unless, if you're wearing mascara, don't watch it. Like, just don't. And if you're a dude and you're wearing mascara, come talk to me afterwards. Right? And so I watch this, and it's a father and a son. The son is a quadriplegic, has no use of his extremities. And so one day he tells his dad, he's like, I really want to be a part of a run, a 5K. So his dad used to be in the military, used to be in really good shape, had gotten out of shape. And so he's like, okay, we'll do a 5K. So he has this little cart pusher thing, what do you call it? A stroller, almost like a stroller for his adult son. And he runs a 5K with his son, like pushing him. And he said, golly, he said his son told him after the race that he's never felt more alive. And it just inspires me because they didn't stop there. They kept going. Now they went kind of more and more, and they increased to not just running, but cycling and swimming. Like his dad, who's in his 50s, swam an Ironman with his son on his back in a boat. Talk about inspiring. Talk about adversity. And they didn't quit. They didn't stop. They didn't let the emotions of the circumstances, the problems they were going through, or their petty little issues like we face, knock them off course. They kept going. And we have the opportunity when we go through our circumstances and we don't get down and we don't get beat down and we don't quit and we don't stop to influence others just like that. Maybe not to the same degree. It doesn't have to be on such a grand scale, but you can influence people in everyday life. When you come to work every day with a good attitude, that influences people. When you come to work every day and you deal with a jerk boss with grace, that influences people. When you're dealing with a hard class that's just really, really tough and everybody's struggling and you keep the right perspective and the right attitude, that influences people. It doesn't have to be this grand thing, but we need to influence people every single day of our lives, and there's some ways that we can do that. And so that's just it, man. The adversity that we face in life gives us an opportunity to influence other people because we have to remember the second thing, and we're going to be quick with this one. How many of you guys watched Monsters, Inc. as a child? Yeah, we are the Pixar generation, right? So if you remember Roz, the creepy secretary lady, she said, always watching. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I thought about getting a video. I was like, but I can do it better than she can anyway. That's what people are doing. They're always watching. Like they're watching our lives, man. And not a lot of times, like if we're just going to be honest, they're watching waiting for us to fail. But I think secretly they're watching waiting for us to succeed because they want to know that the real thing is there. It's available. Like that this whole thing, this whole journey in life is possible and you can do it. And there's this hope inside of you that sustains you through the darkest of seasons. I'm convinced that hope is what most people long for. I'm convinced that it's the missing element in their journey and their struggles. And it's like, have you noticed that people are searching for something? That's why we get so caught up in things and addictions and crap. Because we've got this gap, this hole inside of us that needs to be filled. So we try to fill it with drugs and we try to fill it with sex and we try to fill it with booze or whatever. You try to fill it with money or greed or pursuits and it'll never be fully and finally satisfied until you allow God to fill that gap. And that's what people are missing is hope. And God is the one who gives the hope. And so how we face our own struggles paints a picture to those around us of who God is. Like you may be the only connection to God that somebody has. And so how you deal with your adversity paints a picture of who God is, whether that is accurate or inaccurate. And I know that can be a lot of pressure, but that's good. You need the pressure sometimes. We need to understand the sense of urgency that we should approach life with. Like, life is not about you. It's not about you. One more time, it's not about you, right? It's not just about, if it were just about us, God would have put you on a planet all by yourself so you could live there and die alone. But he didn't. He put you on a planet with 7 billion other people. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us and it's about us influencing other people. And so, man, we just have to maintain that perspective. We have to deal with our adversity in a way that paints an accurate picture of who God is. He's strong. He is able. He's a sustainer. He's a lifter of our heads. He's our comfort when we deal with adversity. Man, read the book of Psalms and you see men who struggle. Specifically, David wrote a vast majority of the Psalms. And man, he had problems. Like, he dealt with stuff. And I'm convinced that musicians, no offense guys, are the most emotional people on the face of the earth. That's a true story. Hanging out with some musicians, they're pretty emotional. Except for you guys. Not our musicians, but other musicians. So David was a musician. I've already dug myself a hole. Stop digging. Stop talking about it. Move on. David was a musician, and he was a very emotional guy, it seems, which is weird because he was also like this fierce warrior, and you get this whole thing in a package. It's like a docudrama waiting to happen. And so David deals with some adversity, and all throughout the book of Psalms, like he throws out these descriptors or phrases about God. He's like, he's my sustainer. He's the lifter of my head. He's the one that when I'm faced with adversity can pick me up and get me through it. And I think that that's the way that we've got to view God and paint the picture of God to the world around us. If we respond appropriately and biblically, it gives us leverage into the lives of other people. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. We all know verse 13. Like, this is the one, even before you started coming to church or you kind of became a Christian or whatever, like you heard Philippians 4:13. It's, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But verse 12 is the setup. Like, without verse 12, verse 13 is kind of irrelevant because what does it even mean? And it says this, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. I know how to have nothing and how to have everything. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Like, Paul's like, whatever circumstance I face, whether good or bad, adverse or positive, I have everything, I have nothing. I know the secret of facing those circumstances. And it's verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? That's the picture that we should be painting to the world around us, that whatever we face, like whatever you go through it. Like you've heard us talk about before, Winston Churchill was kind of this intelligent, witty, a little bit snarky dude. And he said, because this is what we do, like we waddle around in our muck and mire, right? Like a pig just wallowing in the mire. You've heard that expression. It sounds so redneck, but it's true. And what we do is, like, when we're in a mess, we just kind of, like, stay in our mess instead of trying to get out of our mess. If you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stay there. Keep going. And so that's Winston Churchill for you. When you see people living like this with the right perspective, that they believe that they can get through it, they keep their eyes on Jesus, and they realize that other people are watching, it gives you an opportunity for influence. At the very least, it gives you an opportunity to share where your strength and your resolve comes from. Like it says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, this is so good. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If when adversity comes, you freak out and you have, you know, a meltdown and you just can't handle it, your strength is small. And you know what you need to do? You need to increase your strength. Do you even lift, bro? Get in the weight room. Like, not physically, but spiritually, right? Where does your strength come from? Like, there you go. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Like, that's where our strength comes from. And we've got to increase our trust in God so that when we face adversity, we can face adversity. Because you realize it's not just about you. It's about everybody else that's around you. And the struggles that you go through are opportunities for you to help other people, for you to encourage other people, for you to help them get out of their mess so that they can help other people get out of their mess. And this community thing is real. And it works. And it's happening. But it never happens if you think this life is just about you. Right? Your opportunities to influence other people come through the form of adversity sometimes. And we just got to remember that. We got to remember that people are watching. And if you're facing some adversity and you're struggling with it, increase your trust. Just allow God to work through your circumstance. Get your eyes off of yourself. We do this to ourselves. When we're going through something, we keep our eyes on our problems. But if you take just a few minutes and serve other people, it's amazing. It's amazing how when you get your eyes off of you and on somebody else, you realize that your situation isn't as bad as you once thought it was. Unbelievable, isn't it? When you think about how tough it is here and, you know, in all of our comforts and luxury in the United States, and then you watch the Charity Water video and there's 600 million people in the world that don't have clean drinking water, which means that the vast majority of them will die from a disease in their water. It's like, okay, perspective, right? And so anyway, I want to close this morning with like this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is what trusting in God through your adversity will do. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding." It doesn't even make sense. Don't we need that sometimes? Don't we need something that's not even logical? Because that's what the world needs. It doesn't need something that kind of follows the pattern of the world or makes sense to the world. We need something that's supernatural. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's what we need. Like, we need the peace of God in our lives to help us get through any adversity that we'll ever face, any struggle, any trial that we'll ever come upon. The God of peace will be with you, and he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. So this morning, I want to pray for anybody. And if you're just going through some stuff and you need to get your perspective right, you need to come back to center, you need to be reminded of who it is that sustains you. Like, you're not facing your adversity on your own, and it's not in your own strength, but it's ultimately God who will sustain you and carry you through your adversity. If that's you, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want you to slip up your hands. I want to pray specifically for you. Awesome. You can put your hands down. Father, God, thank you that we can come to a place like this. We can learn about you, we can talk about you, and we can be honest about our lives, about our struggles, about the things that we're going through. God, we know that we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But we also know that you love us. You loved us enough to give us salvation through your Son on the cross. God, in that love, I pray that you would help every one of us to confront our adversity with the right perspective. God, that we'll just remember that this life is not about us, and the things that we face, it's not just about us and how it affects us, but it's also about who we can serve through what we learn with what we go through. God, I pray that you would help us to keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. That means you're going to see us from the beginning to the end. You'll see us through anything that we have to go through. God, you never leave us hanging. You never leave us in the middle of our mess. But God, you always get us through whatever it is that we have to get through. God, sustain us and help us to believe that you're going to do that. Help us to not allow our emotions and our minds to run rampant. But God, let our trust in you be strong. Let our faith in you be such, God, that when the day of adversity comes, we won't be the faint who are weak and don't have the right strength, but our strength is in you. We'll be able to stand. We'll have resolve to stand when the day of adversity comes. Jesus, we love you, and we pray this in your precious name. And everybody said, amen.